Good evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Dave. Good evening. This is Dave McDowell with Powerfully You Radio Blog. I'm here with my wife, Linda, and we're doing this together. She has had this radio blog for some time, but we kind of let it lapse. And so now we're going to try to get back and be very, very consistent. And we will be broadcasting on Sundays at 6 Central Time, 7 Eastern Time. So let me start by introducing Linda. And since she won't sing her own praises, I will. So Linda is my wife. I've been very, very fortunate to find her. She is over 30 years as a nurse, the last 20 as a hospice nurse, and as many people know, that takes a very, very special personality. She has a master's in divinity. She has a master's in clinical counseling and is a personal coach, as well as a Reiki massage therapist. So guess what, guys? I hit the jackpot. Got my own personal coach, my own physical therapist. I got it. I got it all. So I'm going to just ask Linda a question. She can introduce me. Well, I'll let her introduce me. We promised we'd let each other do the other one. So I'm let her go.
Well, I am married to a very wonderful man that has wisdom and discernment, and he is a computer
analyst
for Vanderbilt University and has worked through various hospitals and doing computer analysts, being a computer analyst, and he just is a wise, good man, and I hit the jackpot, really, to tell you the truth. He is my personal coach and encourager, as well as a coach and encourager to his family members, loved ones, and friends. We're very different in ways, but we're very similar. And I guess most married couples can say the same thing.
Okay. So, Linda, just a few words, what's your goal with this blog? Can you state that for us?
Well, my goal with this, even when I had it before, and I was single then, by the way, was to encourage, empower people to be their best, you know, and it was more of a spiritual nature because I feel like that is where I come from. That's my power source, is my connection to God. So it was more of a spiritual base. And as a coach, as a nurse, pretty much my care is a more spiritual base.
Okay. So with that, then I'm going to add mine, but we've talked about this and I know we're in agreement. We're everyday people. We're really trying to emphasize that, you know, Linda has some special talents and special education, but we both are just average Joes. I don't know a better way to put it. With the hope that as we want to grow, we explore mostly our spiritual side, but also our creativity side, all kinds of things, that we want to share some of those ideas and thoughts and principles that we're learning with our audience in the hopes that it will trigger an interest in your part and cause you to think and decide maybe, you know, I want to grow. I want to explore something that I've never explored before, whatever that may be. That's our goal. We want to encourage people to explore themselves. I don't know a better way to put it, but that's what we're doing.
Yeah, and you as a person, is probably a frontier that a lot of us have not explored, including, you know, really exploring your relationship with God. And what is that really? So from the average man, not from a scholar, not from your pastor, we are the people in the pew, the average Joe, like my husband said, and we're exploring our total being, our mind, body, and spirit. We're exploring, but basically we're kind of hitting more from that spiritual nature, we would say.
Yeah, and I think to maybe make that even more clear, Linda and I are dedicated Christians. We believe in the Jewish God of Jehovah and his son Jesus, and we're committed Christians. However, this show is not about Christianity per se. Will we share some things from that perspective? You bet, because that's where we come from. But the whole idea is to connect, is to help you connect with God. You know, every person I hope and I pray sincerely has a personal relationship, not a corporate, not a religious. You know, not, you know, I go to this church or that church or this denomination or this religion, but a personal religion. And I believe those people are all over the world. And frankly, I believe they're not necessarily Christians. I believe there are Buddhists. I believe there are Taoists. I believe there are Hindus. I believe that there are Muslims who truly have a heart for God. They're not just religious. They really want to walk and talk and have fellowship with God and be changed by that relationship. So that's what we're trying to do is hopefully share things that will help you connect in a way that maybe you haven't heard it because it's been couched in special words and theological theories and whatever. These are just practical things for us. So with that, I think I'm going to introduce our subject, Linda.
Okay.
So we decided we really wanted to talk about prayer, but hopefully we're going to talk about it in a little different way than you've heard before, in that we're just going to share our own practical things that we've learned. I've been a Christian since I was 7 years old. Now, it was only when I was 23 and had to hit bottom and had to be truly broken that I surrendered to the Lord. And I've really been learning ever since, and I'm sure I will continue to learn. There's so much I want to know. But so these are things we've both practiced. We've, frankly, experimented. You know, we've been taught by others and have learned about prayer. So, Linda, I'm going to put you in the spot and let you start with whatever aspect of prayer you have in your heart.
Well, you know, and I've done a podcast or, you know, a radio blog on prayer before, but and I've probably said this, but I feel like we're kind of starting new, but we don't really have a big audience yet, and so I can kind of start over with some of my thoughts. Prayer to me is a two-way conversation between you and God, and it took me a while to learn. You know, I would pray, and then I would get up and feel like that's the end. But after a while, I began to learn that I had missed the most important part of prayer, listening. So now after I pray, I take a moment of silence to hear what God is saying inside of me. And practically, people will be like, well, does God talk to you? Yes, he does. And he doesn't have this voice, hey, Linda, thou shalt. No, it's just inner voice in my spirit that directs me and tells me and assures me. And one of the ways that really, really helped me is when I start journaling in the tense of God speaking to me. And I would end each part of that journal, which I still do sometimes, not as frequently as I had, but I would end it with signed Abba. You know, I would sign it and it would be Abba, and he would be talking Abba. Abba, meaning Father, I would relate to him as Abba, Father God, and he would speak to me. I write down what I hear in my spirit, and it became a very intense journey in for me when I start doing that, taking the time to listen. I began to get answers, places when you know you're just stuck. He'd show me the way out of that.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a couple of questions and see if we can make that even more practical, because that's whatever. But do you have, like when you go to your quiet time, and as you said, prayer is a two-way thing. We've been taught for so many years that we're supposed to go to God and ask, and walk away. And we've learned that, no, you know, if you'll wait a moment, he'll bring things to you. He wants to hear what's major on our heart, no doubt. But he'll also bring other things. Things will pop up. I mean, that's the way it works for me. Is if I'll be quiet, the Lord will place topics into my head, And I'll know that's what he wants. That's our discussion for today. But do you have an image when you pray? Do you see God in your mind to look like anything in particular? Do you do that? Because if you don't, I do.
No. To me, and this is probably for a lot of Christians, is that I don't see, to me, putting God, and this is just me, in an image contains him.
Okay.
So I don't see him as the image. I see him, and I guess I do in a way, but more than an image. Like it's like we're communicating mind to mind. That's kind of what.
So you see him as truly spiritual, which he is, and not necessarily in any particular kind of form. But for me, I've learned over the years it helps if when I go to my quiet time, whether it's outside sitting on a patio or inside or wherever, to kind of think, I've entered the throne room. Mm-hmm. I see that throne. I see him sitting there, open. And even though he is immeasurably respectable, immeasurably omnipotent and omniscient and all the omnis, there to listen to me. And I believe that with all my heart. And so I'll go boldly with sins, with problems, with issues that I'm struggling with and needs and desires. But I enter that room, that place, with the idea that this is my Father. And that has helped me so much to give him the attributes of a Father. And couch my prayer with that as really usually it's my main thought is this is my Father. I, as an earthly father, want my children, my son to come to me, even though he's a full-grown man, anytime he wants, to discuss anything he wants, to tell me anything, good, bad, successes, failures, because he knows he's safe, and I know I'm safe. God isn't going to kick me out. He's not going to take a big bat and hit me over the head because I messed up. He's a father. Fathers don't do that. Now, will he correct me? Absolutely. Do I want that correction? Absolutely. But it helps me to kind of have that image. For somebody else, maybe the image is something different, but it should be safe because you are safe with God. He understands us better than we understand. He's not, as one of my wonderful spiritual mentors used to finish every sermon that he preached in every service with these things. Remember, God is not mad at you. He's not surprised. He's not offended. And he's absolutely loving. You know, there's nothing we can do or say that will cause him to love us any more or any less. So what would you like to add to
that? Well, and that, you know, sometimes I feel like we see God as sometimes, can we bring this to him? And sometimes my prayer, you know, if you're having a conversation with your parent figure, your loved one or whatever, you know, sometimes you joke, sometimes you laugh. Sometimes you cry. Sometimes you ask questions. You bear your soul, basically, to this person. And that is my prayer time with God. You know, sometimes I laugh at myself. God, that was pretty stupid. I'm sorry. I did this, da-da-da-da-da, whatever it was. Trust me, I have a bunch of them. And I feel like we've shared jokes together, and I know that might be different for people to see, but this is my prayer time with my Father. And, you know, I sometimes still think I have little things that where most people might be really different. Like one of the things that I do during my prayer time, one time I was outside and I was praying to God, and I just asked him, if you hear me, just send a red bird as a kiss. And, you know, to me, you can say these things, the unusual, the unexpected things, and he did. I mean, a red bird just appeared on our little foyer, and now I change that prayer to, Lord, when I just need to feel your presence or just feel a kiss, let me see a red bird unexpectedly. So that is my little joke between me and God, is that out of nowhere, when I see a red bird, I know you're here, you know. And it's a childlike thing, but to me, that is the moments with God that are more precious to me.
Okay. Linda, are there times when you have trouble communicating with the Lord?
I think that I had the most difficult time communicating with God when I first became a Christian. You know, because, you know, now some people know my background and some people don't. I was a Muslim for a very long time, and then I came to Christianity, though I had always been exposed to Christianity through my grandmother. But when I first came to Christianity as an adult, it was hard for me to pray because it was like I still felt like I had to have a formula.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do this, you got to say this, you got to da-da-da. From my past background. But when I got to the point where I could just open my heart to God and bring whatever it was that was on my heart openly, freely, jokingly, seriously, crying, whatever was really in my heart at the time, then I became free.
So when you get past the feeling of, oh, I've got to be on my knees, or I've got to have my Bible open, or I've got to say it this way or that way, and use these and thous or whatever, and really begin to just say, Lord, here's my heart. I hurt. I'm happy. I'm sad. I'm struggling. I had a success today. I feel you. I don't feel you. That's when you really started connecting.
And when I really start feeling his presence, when I was open with him, and it wasn't a formula. This is how I'm feeling today, God.
Right.
This is from my heart. My heart is heavy today, like you said, or I'm just full with joy today, you know?
Yeah, and so, and you also said that earlier that one of the things that really helped you with that was journaling.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm not trying to put words, so correct me if I don't have this right, but I do some journaling, and I don't know how it works for me, so let me just own this. For journaling, for me, what it helps is I just kind of let go, and I go, I write whatever that comes to me. The next thing you know, we're having a discussion on prayer, the Lord and I, or we're having a discussion on vocation, or we're having a discussion on, you know, a decision that's coming up, and it just flows that way. And so journaling, if you're young in prayer, I think is a good way to kind of start. And I think a good way, because I want to make this practical for people who maybe not had a lot of practice here, is if you can't think of anything, I mean, if you don't really know what to pray about, think about what's bothering you the most.
Mm-hmm.
What problems are keeping you awake at night or causing you stress? Because those are what he wants to talk to us about. I really believe that. Well, I mean, I think he is more concerned and more in the details than we could ever imagine.
Yeah, and that is a good place to start. But I also encourage people to, you know, sometimes – back in, when I first became a Christian, I think if the name of Claimant Time was kind of real, you know, big then. And so I feel like I would come to God with this, I want a car, da-da-da-da-da, I want a house, and I'm going to get it, and that kind of stuff. But, you know, as I matured in God, that wasn't the most important thing. You know, whatever I was wanting next, though I needed those things. I needed a car, a house, a place to stay, and all of those. But as I grew in this fellowship with him, the more I journaled, the more I listened to him, the things that I really wanted or desired were more relationship-driven. So, you know, and it's good. Start wherever you are. You know, if you need food on the table, that's going to be a driving need. If you need clothes, that's going to be a driving need. But just keep on and just, you know, have that the moments when still the second part of prayer is listening.
Right.
That is the juice. What you have to say is good, but you're going to get answers. You're going to get connection when you start listening.
Right. Okay.
So, and I'm happy to say you've experienced this too. I know I have. As I mature in my relationship with God, my faith has grown. He's come through so many times in so many ways, ways that I wouldn't have chosen, but now look back and go, that was perfect. That I don't have the need to ask as much for things that I feel like I know I'm okay, whether it's, you know, secular needs, food, housing, you know, and to be, as Paul said, I've also learned, and it's practice, you know, I love that verse, learn to be content in whatsoever state I'm in. So now the conversation is a lot less about I want as much as what do you want?
You know,
what do you want?
And you know what? He is okay with us starting at,
oh, yes, okay,
at our want.
Absolutely.
You know, Lord, because sometimes those are needs, and he will meet your need. But I think you reach a point after that where you realize that's the faith. He has met every need I have ever had. Sometimes before I even spoke the need was met. And so you reach a level of faith where you know he's going to meet your needs. And then you reach another level in which you know, so you don't have to ask for those things for the need. It's more, like I said, relationship-driven where you're just really seeking him and what he wants in your life. Because when you seek him and what he wants in your life, the needs, they're met beyond your greatest imagination, pretty much.
Right. I totally agree. So as, you know, we're talking about prayer, and so I want to come. It's very, you know, you and I can go off on who knows what, but let's try to stay there. But it's kind of hard not to include other things like faith, et cetera, et cetera. But to encourage folks who may be relatively new in their prayer life, you know, I have found that I'm better if I have a place to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it can be, now it doesn't have to be a big deal. I mean, it can be, I go to this spot in the living room and I turn everything off.
Mm-hmm.
I go sit out on the front porch or the back porch. You know, it doesn't have to be some pew. It doesn't have to be a church. However, if that helps you, then go sit in the church. I love that. I just don't get to do it often. So just in practical ways, I kind of think that's true.
One of my greatest phrases for prayer is in my car.
Yeah,
no.
Okay.
And though I do have quiet spots, we're blessed to have places in our home that are quiet spots for me, on a couch sometimes, in the office. And it's various places, but it's a place, more a sacred place of quietness, wherever you can grab those moments of quietness, wherever that be. If you're a young mom and you got kids running around, and I've been there, four kids running around, where do you find this quietness? Well, it may be in the early morning hours, or it may be when they go to bed at night that you have, and it doesn't, you know, he just wants to connect with you. So maybe it is just 10 or 15 minutes is all you have, but that's a start, because trust me, once I started, and I did start in the early morning hours, that just worked for me when I was busy mom with kids and everything. If you start there and you just start with 10 or 15 minutes, you will start carving out time because you will be rushing to that those moments with that exchange. When you come out of that sacred place is what it becomes to me, you'll have so much richness from that, you know, wisdom, guidance, understanding. Things will just start to fall into place.
Okay. So, if, you know, it's not a quantity. It's a reality. It's a quality. And I hate to use that word quality, like I can pray better than you can, or I have better prayers than other times, but that attitude. And if it's only 5 minutes, then it's only 5 minutes. You know, if that's all you've got and that's all you can find, and like you said, you got kids and job and whatever, and it's wherever you can focus. For you, you can focus in the car. For me, I that's not my spiritual place, though it has been. There have been times when some of the best spiritual times I've had sitting in a car driving through traffic, you know. But I just want to encourage folks to whatever time you can, really just make yourself available to the Lord and make, because he's available to you.
Right.
You know, and take that time. And I believe, like Linda said, I believe you will reap the benefits to such a degree that you will find for them.
Right. And then, you know, there is a place in the Bible that says pray without ceasing. So really right now I feel like my life is a prayer. Well, you know, I pray about the parking spot, or sometimes it'll be somebody in the grocery line that for some reason it'll be on my heart to pray for them, and I'll just start praying for them at that moment or whatever. So sometimes you'll find that, and there's different kinds of prayers, but sometimes somebody will come to you. Those are intercessory prayers. Friend in need. Like I said, you'll pass somebody. Sometimes I'll pass along the street and I'll see somebody that may have a disability or something, and God will place it on my heart to pray for them right there. You know, learn to acknowledge those moments. And even if it's a brief, Lord, help that person. It just takes you out of yourself so that you, you know, and that's when we're used of God, when we can take out of ourselves and our own needs to include others.
What do you think happens to you when you do that?
Well, like one thing, I get out of myself, and it's all about being about me. But spiritually, as you begin to pray and as you pray more, you know, I feel like there is this divine connection with the Holy Spirit that then you learn eventually how to intercede for others, where you they will just be on your heart. You know, someday somebody just will be on my heart, and that is a good moment for prayer. I also believe for women, if you're menopausal, a lot of times you cannot sleep at night. And this is a spiritual thing I had to come through, because I'm one of those people that cannot sleep at night. And God came to me, I mean, God said to me one time, you know, between that hour, it would be like 3 or 4 a.m., and God said, you know, it's a lot of women up at this time, and they don't know what to do with this time. Usually these are grandmothers, if you're menopausal, or you may be mother, or you may be mother and caretaker. This is the perfect time for a matriarch to set the tone of prayer for her family.
So do you feel a need as a mom, as a sister, as an aunt, as, you know, a friend, that when you have those times to just intercede for others?
Mm-hmm.
So let's go a little further with that, because I think that's absolutely right on, and I think that's what Paul was talking about. I really do. It's I heard it called an attitude of prayer, you know, because we can't be on our knees 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no formula, and that's kind of what I want to share with folks. You know, it's great to read the scriptures. I'm very much a scripture guy. And I will pray those scriptures when they're appropriate, when I feel like they fit. But that's not a have to. You know, it can, and I like what you said, sometimes it can be as simple as, Lord, bless them.
Mm-hmm.
Just bless them.
Yeah.
You know, that brings tears to my eyes just thinking about that, because I know how many times I've said, Lord, I don't know what they need. I don't get it. I don't know why they're going through what they're going through. Lord, just bless them.
Yeah,
or and help, know that he hears that.
I believe that. Or help them, Lord. You know, being a hospice nurse, sometimes you're in situations where you really do not know what to say. There is nothing, there are no words. Where sometimes somebody's suffering through pain, and, you know, you've tried numerous meds and you're still hurting. There have been times when I just put my hand on that person and just said, Father God, please help us reach a point of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And it has happened. You know what I'm saying? And as a nurse or a physician or whatever, I always think that, man, if I'm on the other receiving end, I want to know that they have a connection with God, and they can go a little higher than themselves to the next power, is what I call it personally myself. That sometimes you don't have the answer and you need to go to the next power, which is God to me.
And you said something there. You know, we've talked about prayer as a connection between, well, I'm really glad this came up because we didn't plan this, between yourself and God. But it's also a connection between you and others. It certainly can be.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to encourage, and this is just on my heart, especially mothers and fathers, touch your children
mm-hmm.
and say a 10-second prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just say, Lord, bless them. Lord, mm-hmm. grow them. My prayer for my son was, Lord, and I was immature. I didn't know what I was praying, but God gave me this prayer that I look back on, and I know it was him, and it was so mature, but I didn't know it. And my prayer for him was, Lord, grow him up to love and to cherish you. Because even as an immature Christian, I knew that was the place to be. That's what I wanted for me, so that's what I wanted for my son. Didn't matter if he was a successful business person or whatever. That wasn't important to me. What was important was that he had that kind of relationship. But it can happen at work.
Mm-hmm.
It can happen, you know. Nowadays, you have to be careful about touching people, but you can certainly say a prayer. You see somebody struggling. You see them under stress, you know, say a prayer.
Yeah. You know? And sometimes, you know, some of the most powerful prayers are not said out loud.
No.
You know, sometimes it's just, Lord, you know, bless so-and-so. I know they're having a hard time today, and it can be in your mind or whatever. But as Christians, I also feel like you shouldn't be, and I know it takes a place, because it took me a journey to get to the place that I could pray anywhere. If you told me you need a prayer, baby, that's all you got to say to
and
me.
You didn't care. He was around.
That didn't happen overnight. That took some years, a couple of years, for me to be that comfortable where I could drop anything and pray for somebody. You just start. Even if it's shaky, your communication and how you communicate to God is really not that important as connection.
I'm glad you said that, because I actually started this conversation way back trying to get you to go somewhere, and you went another direction, which is great. So I'm just going to own this. And I want to share this with our audience, because it's so powerful. It is just so powerful. And there have been times when I hurt emotionally so bad, I could not pray. I couldn't say words, but I could just be with God and know. I've literally groaned and felt God's presence. And I absolutely believe, and of course this is a Christian doctrine for whatever, but I think it's true regardless, that the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, interprets those groans for us. So that's why it's really, as you said, language is really not that important. The message gets through. So, you know, I just want to share that with folks, that sometimes if all you can do is just go someplace and be quiet, God hears your quietness. He hears your pain. I can't explain it. I just know it's true. I've experienced it. And I've walked away from those places feeling like I've had a catharsis, that somehow I was able to get those emotions out, and now I can get up and take another step.
Right.
You know?
And it's been, I know those things. And he does hear our groans and moans, and he knows we don't even have the conversation. And sometimes if you're in prayer and you're just quiet, sometimes my prayer is, Lord, what? Talk to me. And, you know, it's been times when I've asked questions, Lord, because I didn't understand, why was I in this place? What has happened? What is going on? Lord, you know, that frustration, I'm real, you know, that I've had at times with God, like, you know, why is this happening to me?
What?
And he has brought that to me. And a lot of times, in all honesty, it was because I had done something.
Right.
You know, and not to make myself, but, you know, sometimes we are the culprit, but we can't see it. But he would bring it to me clearly, and not in a, you're going to hell for this, but in a way, as a father shows you, you know, this happened because maybe you did that, or Yeah.
That didn't work.
And this is a better way to do that. Those kind of things would come up again from inside me in my spirit, and I would hear that.
This is, you know, we've had this discussion, you and I, and it's an aspect of prayer that I think is important, and especially if you're new to your personal relationship
mm-hmm.
that Linda and I have talked about, and that is we absolutely believe that God is never, ever offended by a question.
Mm-mm.
That it's okay to say, Lord, I don't understand. Lord, what about that? How is this okay? I don't think he minds those. I don't think he's offended. I don't think he's perplexed. I don't think he can always explain it to us, and you may not get an answer. But I think it's okay to ask. And I don't think there's anything, and yet I have been in places where that was, maybe if not said, it was modeled that wasn't okay, that was a lack of faith, or you were being sacrilegious, or how dare you question God. Well, let me tell you, Job questioned God.
And, you know, some people, I personally, there may be some people that may have been offended by that. I'm sorry if you were offended, but I have a real relationship with God. And, you know, it's sometimes I question him. I question why things happen. The thing about the question is he always gave me an answer. Not always in the time that I wanted the answer, but in time, even now, I can see some things that I went through 10 years ago that God has given me the answer. Well, 10 years to God is but a day or less. So in that 10 years, I grew, could look back on why I went through that, and I did always get through. That's the other thing. When you go through some things, you will always get through. I got through, and I realized that I had to go through that to get to this. At this point,
okay, and I'm with you, but again, this is more for our listeners than for you and me. I mean, I think we understand this. You got through them. You got through them, and you're telling everybody they're going to get through their things. What if they don't have a personal relationship?
And if there were times, trust me, I did not have a relationship with God. I would look at people and think, yeah, right. When they were talking to me about, probably if I listened to this radio program 15 to 20 years ago, I'd be probably like, yeah, right. All I can tell you that is try him, because that's what I did. I tried him, and he was true, and his word, it became real to me, and my relationship became real. You know, I started with the question of, are you real? Are you really real, God? That was a prayer. And he answered and showed me that he was really real. So really, it's the conversation. Just make it as real, honest, and authentic, the words you speak, and there will be a dialogue.
Yeah, and then also to encourage other folks, myself included, and to reiterate what Linda said, sometimes the answer doesn't come for a long time. Sometimes the answer to a question or desire or need or whatever doesn't come for a long time. Let me give you an example of, for me, I grew up in a family, particularly a dad who was a wonderful, wonderful dad. He was, but he was also angry and had a temper, and we learned that. I learned that. And then as a father, I can remember saying, Lord, help me. Help me to control this temper. And, you know, that's been a long-term answer. But I'm much better today than I was. And I absolutely believe that's God's Spirit helping me and getting me through those things. I'm trying to think, you know, another thing. Can you think of any examples where, you know, you pray something and you didn't get the answer for 5 years?
Well, actually, yes, I can.
Okay.
You were the answer to a prayer that I had prayed. I had been single for a long time, thinking, if you've listened to some past programs, like from the beginning, I was single then. thinking that really it wasn't going to happen. You know, it was just, you know, Lord, do you even hear this prayer? But I had to go through some things to get to the answered prayer. I had to grow. If I had met Dave even 10 years ago, I would not be the person I am today. Maybe even not open to a relationship with Dave, because I don't know if you've seen that, but we are two different. We're an interracial couple. So the Lord had, you know, I feel like He prepared me for this place that I'm in now. And the answer, though it came, did not come right away. But in each stage of that, I grew. Because sometimes we have to grow into the answer to a prayer.
Oh, I love that's a great way. I've never heard of it that way. You have to grow into the answer. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but my little joke kind of is, you don't give a BB gun to a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
And that's why I think sometimes we don't get our answers, because you need to, I like that. I'm going to use that. You need to grow into that. I've always said, well, you're not ready. You're not sure enough to have that answer. Well, you have to grow into your answer. That's beautiful. I like that.
That wasn't me.
Well, whatever.
That was the Holy Spirit on that one.
Stealing it, whatever. That's a great
answer. But just learn that through experience. And sometimes you get answers right away. Now, you know, God will answer our prayers, but I just always want to be real with people that sometimes, you know, it looks like you are not getting the answer. Well, maybe you may not get the answer right then. Your timing and God's timing is totally different, and we are in His timing.
See, I've changed a little bit, and this is a bit of a maverick statement, not a big one, but I've heard people say, well, sometimes the answer's not, you know?
And sometimes it is.
Well, I really think it is almost never now.
Hmm.
It's almost never now, but sometimes it's not yet.
I have something better.
Not yet. Wait a little bit longer while I make this happen. I arrange this situation and I put this together. You know, then you can have this.
Well, and just like our children, like, you know, sometimes they may want something, some truck or something or some toy. But, you know, you see a better toy that you know they will enjoy and you tell them, just wait for a while. I feel like the same thing with God. Sometimes He's telling you, you know, you have this desire. It's a very, you want it. He has something so much bigger and better for you at an appointed time that He's helping you to grow to that appointed time.
Yeah, it's hard to talk about prayer without including will, faith, God's
you
will.
Can't, because with prayer, you'll grow these up faith, endurance, patience. These things will develop from your prayer life.
Absolutely.
So
it's the prayer. Yeah, and I used to think, you know, I need to be doing. And now I realize, no, I need to be praying. You know, because God can use a lot of other people. He doesn't just have to use me. You know, He's got tons of resources. He's got more than we can imagine. Absolutely necessary.
And we're not.
That's just
but then I also learned that when you get those nudgings, like.
To respond.
And it's sometimes I've ignored them and I, you know, you can't, you mess up, move on. But a lot of times when I don't ignore those nudgings, I need you to speak here. I need you to smile at, sometimes it may be, I just need you to smile at that person, to acknowledge their presence.
Here's a beautiful benefit about prayer that nobody really talks about, but I believe it with all my heart, and that is prayer makes you sensitive to the other spiritual people.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever walked into a room of 10 people, look around the room, and immediately know who is your spiritual brother or sister?
Mm-hmm.
You can't explain that, you just know. I still do it. It happens to me at work, where we don't have to say anything. We don't have to talk about God or prayer. I just know this is part of my family. This person is in my family, my spiritual family. And I want to say Christian, but I want all of our audience to realize it's God's family. I don't know if Christian is the right word to be, and I'm
it is
treading
God's
on dangerous ground
yeah.
with certain people. But
well, you know what? The Lord said, go into the highways and byways. So if we all only talk to the people that were Christians, then how will we have communication with anybody else? And so this is a byway now on the internet or whatever where this program is. And so we got to, you know, open it up to the minds of somebody else. You know, if it wasn't for some people that, you know, were opening to answering some questions or walking before me or praying before me when I was a Muslim, I wouldn't be a Christian. So we can't say that you can't talk to this person or include them in the conversation because we don't know. I always say, and it's in the Bible, you don't know where your seed is going to be planted or when it's going to grow. And it's not up for you to know. It's just that you took the time to plant that seed, which brings us back to prayer. And that prayer is, prayer also fine-tunes you into hearing from God. You know, it's just like you become like a fine-tuned radio when you take the time to pray and listen. And then when he speaks to you at any given moment, you know it's him because you are familiar with his voice.
Yeah, again, it's so easy. There's so many parts to this.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that has really happened to me, and this has just been in the last, I would say, 14 years, that I've started giving credence to God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would pray and I'd get an answer, and it would be God, but I go, oh, that's just me. You know, that can't be real. You know, I'm not a prophet. I don't hear God. Yes, I do. And I do believe he does speak to us. It's a thought. It's a picture. It's an image. And I've learned to trust those things
yeah.
to realize that's real. That is God. And it's not just me.
No.
But that's taking practice. And that, when I say the last 13 years, for, you know, when you're 60 years old, you say in the last 13 years, that means that there were about 30 years ahead of that. I didn't get that.
Or it's that still small voice, intuition, gut response,
yes.
all of those things that people say, that really is the Holy Spirit. I feel like the Holy Spirit is always there in you, but it develops as you develop in God, and it becomes stronger and stronger so that you're fine-tuned to hear him when he speaks. And I think prayer is the gateway of learning to hear from God.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you take the time to listen. And if you feel like God doesn't talk to me, I would encourage you, listen.
Yeah. Let me give you, this is a fun thing for me. I go through periods of time where I'm a little more creative or more sensitive or something. I don't know. And Linda is the beneficiary, I hope, of this. I will wake up. I will get up. I will go to the shower. I'll be in the shower, and a song will come to me. Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Never let it ever go. Where the heck did that come from? And I walk out, and the Lord said, oh, Lord, that's you. Jesus was the star that came from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did I put him in my pocket, I put him in my heart. Wow. You never know where he's going to come from. Be open. Be ready. I can be watching a movie in a theater and see a certain scene, and bam, God will say to me, that's there. That's what I'm trying to tell you, you know. And I think prayer, as you said, prepares me, or maybe it waters the ground, whatever you want to call to walk in that relatively constant ready to hear and respond. You know, that's the other thing is if you're not surrendered,
mm-hmm.
if you're not in a place that you want to serve God and his kingdom, whatever you call that, then you're not going to get as many answers because God's not going to waste his answers on you. I'm sorry. He loves you. But why tell somebody to go, you know, wash the car when you know they're not?
Right.
And that's the truth. So the more I learn to yield, because there's still places where I want to be in control.
Me too.
But the more I learn to yield, the better my prayer life gets and the more often I get an answer. And, you know, if anybody who's listening hasn't reached that point, this is hard to say. I hope you do.
Well,
it's a hard point to reach because it usually means you have to hit a bottom. You have to hit a place where you're at the end of your resources and you've got nothing left. But that's where God met me.
Well, and he does hit you at those places where you have nothing left and he opens himself to you. But again, because we're talking about prayer, if you do not have a relationship with God, you know, none at all, and you are in a hard place in your life and you don't know what to do, you know, you don't know where to go, and you are just having a hard time. We have 9 minutes into the show, and I feel like I can't talk about prayer without saying to someone, if you don't know God, please take this moment and let us pray for you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thank you, Linda. We're going to finish with that. Well, and also say there are people out there who want to help you.
Mm-hmm.
They're out there. I know it doesn't look like it. I know it seems like churches, a lot of churches seem impersonal and productions and what, but there really are people who find a pastor, find somebody who can step you through this. But we can step you through it right now.
And even if you're online, there's an email associated to us at Powerfully You through Blog Talk Radio. You can drop us a line through our messages. If you need anything, if you need prayer, we would encourage you to, you know, just drop a line and let us know you need prayer. We will pray for you. Dave and I pray almost every morning together. And that's another point I would like to bring up, couples. How enriching that is to your marriage to pray together.
Wow.
Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. And it's a powerful place for couples. A husband and a wife to pray together. You set the tone for your whole family through those moments of prayer. Well, we're going to go ahead and pray for some, maybe somebody who's just having a hard time. We'll just pray from our hearts. And like I said, sometimes our words aren't as perfect as they should be.
Yeah, let's put an illustration on the topic.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You want me to start.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we do trust you. We know that you're a father who is constantly watching over us. For anybody who's struggling, who just is feeling empty and insecure and discontent and afraid and anxious and all those things, Lord, I pray that they would turn to you right now and just say, God, I need you. God, I need you. As I say every morning, because I still need you. There's never a time when I don't need you. So, Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name, and I hope that doesn't offend anybody, but in Jesus' name, that they would just simply say, God, I need you, because you will respond. I know that from my own experience. And I pray that if they're needing help, if they need a brother or a sister to come along, that person would just step out of the shadow. And just, you know, be absolutely, that they'll actually tap them on the shoulder and say, can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we pray that. We want that. We know you want it. So I'm just praying that in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. And, Lord, we just, if there is somebody that doesn't know you or cannot even relate to what we're talking about, that, but they want it. They want to know you, that, Lord, you will open up their heart and meet them right now in their point of need. And all you have to do is say, Lord, I open my heart to you. And he will come at that point. Trust me, it happened to me. So
we've got 5 minutes, mm-hmm. A little over 5 minutes, but I think that's a good stopping point, except I want to tell one story. Because this is, to me, this is the fun thing. So Linda said a moment ago, And I'm really proud that as the man of this house, I started this. And when we got married, we said, you know, we're going to set aside time every morning to pray. Well, let me tell you, that's not always easy. You know, I got to be at work early. I got this. I got that. But we try to do it. And there's two things that we've learned that work really well that I want to share with you.
One is the Lord's Prayer. When we know we just got a moment and we have to get out the door because we have responsibilities, the Lord's Prayer is so complete.
Mm-hmm.
It is truly complete. If you will meditate on it, you'll start to see how complete it is. But then I will also say to Linda, all right, Linda, let's go. I'm going to say the most spiritual prayer I know because we only got a moment. Do you know what that prayer is? Help. And I believe he hears that prayer.
Yes.
And so let's just leave it with that.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
We really do encourage you that if there is anything we can do for you, send us an email. That would be our privilege and our joy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.